This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao. Every year, the state pays billions of dollars to private contractors for everything from building construction to office supplies. But some businesses have been left out of that spending for decades. A recent analysis by the Triangle Business Journal revealed that the state could have channeled at least $3 billion more dollars into minority-owned businesses in the past 20 years. State officials say simple legislation could solve the issue, but it hasn't ever been put in place. Seth Gulledge is a staff writer for the Triangle Business Journal, and his reporting on state spending disparities came out last week. Seth, welcome to the State of Things.
Hey, Anita. Thanks so much for having me.
So you analyzed 20 years of state spending, and you're looking specifically at this group of businesses called HUBs, historically underutilized businesses. These are businesses owned at least 51% by minorities, women, or people with disabilities. So tell me about what you found when you looked at these businesses and what share of state contracts they were getting.
Yeah, and like you said, so the overall number that we're talking about is over $2.9 billion. So we kind of make that from an analysis. We go back to 1999 when Governor Hunt, he signed an executive order that was informed by a disparity study that was commissioned by the state that essentially just said, listen, we're a state and we spend these billions of dollars on state contracts and goods and services, and we collect the money for these purchases from a vast array of demographics in the state. So kind of the basic question the disparity study was asking is, do we spend this money in a way that adequately represents the demographics that we take the money from? So the short answer is no, right? So as you mentioned, they identify these businesses as historically underutilized, which in itself right there, that name is kind of its explanation. These are businesses that have been historically underutilized according to the state. So that executive order established, again, this is in 1999, established a minimum threshold. They said we should spend at least 10% of our basic state spending to these historically underutilized businesses. Technically, it was 8% in the very, very first year, presumably because they didn't think they could change it overnight. But then every year since then, and this has been reinforced by every governor that's taken office since 1999, said, listen, we should be spending 10% of our total spending on historically underutilized businesses. So what we did is we kind of looked, well, how much did they actually spend in each one of these years? The small spoiler, they actually never reached 10%. So every year there was actually less money they sent to HUBs than they should have to the 10%. So when you total up what actual amount they sent year to year with what they should have sent with the 10% over the last 20 fiscal years, that gets you to about $2.9 billion.
So the fact that when the state has needs to be met, such as construction or, you know, fixing a printer at NC State, which might fit into goods and services,
sure,
they choose who gets that business. And when they go through this pile, they're intending to spend about 10% of the money on these HUBs, but they have not met that year after year. So when you break down the data even further within this category of HUBs, we said, you know, women, people with disability, minorities, are there further disparities when you break it down even further?
Yeah, and I think it's probably important to note, too, that this isn't just something that's like they've been struggling to get to this 10%, right? So they started actually at 9%. In 1999, they got all the way to 9%, and it looked like they were heading there. But every single year, in fact, 1999 is a historic high. They've gone down every single year since then. Last year, the most recent financial data we have available, they were at just 5.2% for goods and services, 6.1% spending overall. And yeah, when you break it down, there are some further disparities. Obviously, I think it's important in this moment, right? We're talking about economic justice. Black businesses, for instance, have received a pretty small share of all of this. As you mentioned, historically underutilized businesses includes female-owned businesses. But last year, Black businesses received just 17% of all HUB spending.
And it's not like this is not on the state's radar. I mean, there is an entire office dedicated to looking at HUBs and providing them resources and checking out this data. And when you spoke to the governor's advisory council on HUBs, they said to you, the system itself is not set up to do business with Black people. That is quite a quote. Can you break down what he meant by this?
Yeah, and he's, you know, the chairman of that advisory council, so that holds a lot of weight. I think that what I was understanding from a conversation I had with him is he's basically saying, at least on the state purchasing side, these goods and services, like you said, everything from a broken printer at NC State to how do we feed all of the students at a community college, he's saying that there's basically just no opportunity to do these contracts because they're set up basically only for very, very large kind of national corporations to be able to handle. So there's no opportunity for what are usually smaller local businesses such as his, and such are a lot of the businesses we talk to.
So what could the state do to bridge this gap, to go from our low amounts of spending and contracts with these businesses to higher, closer to the 10% goal?
Yeah, so that's a great question, and it's a question we're asking a lot of people, right? Everyone, including current state officials and former state officials, including the people that run the historically underutilized business kind of agency that the state monitors all of this with, say that there's a pretty obvious path here. As I mentioned, the spending for the state is kind of broken into two categories. There's the construction contracts, and then there's the kind of catch-all good services contract that's just everything else. And the construction contracts are much smaller as a total percent of the state spending, but construction has actually ever since 1999 been steadily increasing. In fact, it was over 20% last year. It was over 30% of the total went to HUBs in the year before that. And the reason is state officials say in construction, we have specific legislative mandates that say you have to break up these very large contracts and you have to make them available for subcontractors and smaller groups. But you also have to hit that 10% threshold. Both of those things are not must-dos in the state language for goods and services, which, like I said, is exponentially larger. It's more of a aspire to do it, and people just simply aren't doing it.
There are also some legal loopholes that divert funds meant for minority-owned businesses back towards white men. Tell me more about this.
Yeah, that was a big concern for, like I said, not only current state officials, but people like Cornelius Lamberth, the chairman of that advisory council. One of the problems that they face is they call them front-owned, quote-unquote, women-owned businesses, which essentially this is just something as easy as you've been a white-owned male company for years and years, and you've been participating in state contracts, and then you realize, well, you're already playing in kind of that 90% pool, or what's supposed to be a 90% pool, you want to participate in that remaining 10%. So a lot of these businesses do something as simple as, say, sign your business over to your wife's name and then continue running it the exact same way, but then they are technically a historically underutilized business.
So you mentioned that since Governor Hunt, there have been governors, four North Carolina governors total, have signed executive orders touting support for HUBs, reinstating and reinforcing these goals of at least 10%. Is there legislative momentum within the legislature to pass a law that would mandate 10% or mandate more of these contracts going to HUBs?
Yeah, Anita, that's a fantastic question, because especially when you ask people like the woman that ran this office for 14 years, when the solution seems so simple, why hasn't it been done? They quote kind of the political climate, or that there was pushback from the state purchasing office, or that they didn't feel the administrations they worked under really wanted to do something with it. So there is some thought that because of the kind of specific moment we're in, where these kind of thoughts of economic justice are very much in the forefront of the culture's mind, that maybe we'll get a little bit more progress. The Cooper administration is actually doing another disparity study that's supposed to come out later this year that'll shed even more light on, is this 10% threshold even high enough, or is it too low? Who knows?
That's a question I have for you, actually. When you hear that number, I mean, that's an aspiration of goal of 10%. Are there enough businesses in Black-owned, minority-owned, and HUBs in the state to provide more than 10% of these services?
Well, that's the big question, right? I mean, when we talk about demographics, one of the things that kind of, I'll say, critics of how this has been going point out is we're talking about a 10% threshold encompassing every minority and every female-owned business and every even disabled or disadvantaged-owned business. So when you think about that, let's just take Black businesses. Blacks, according to the last census, constitute 22% of the state's total population, yet they're kind of just put in this catch-all category that says, hey, we're going to at least give you 10%, and the state hasn't even gotten to 10% yet.
Does the state provide any resources or support to help minority-owned businesses get off the ground in the first place, given what we know about the lack of access to capital and all of the systemic barriers that may prevent these businesses from even being able to start up?
Yeah, and absolutely. The office that we've been talking about that these people run, the historically underutilized office, it's a part of the Department of Administration, and they do provide a lot of support in so much that even this department exists to help them get registered as a historically underutilized business and compete for these contracts. But people say that's only so far that they can go if you're not mandating the people with the actual money in their hands give them to these businesses in a more equitable way.
So you went through this database, you published this piece in this moment where people are talking a lot about systemic inequality and looking at the state of business ownership. What kind of response have you gotten to this piece?
Yeah, honestly, we've had a lot of people reach out, a lot of Black businesses, a lot of minority-owned businesses, and reach out and say that this is something they've been thinking a lot about. We haven't actually heard back from a lot of the people that are more official that we reached out to this. Governor Cooper's press office has not responded to a request for comment before the article was published. The state purchasing contract, which people have pointed to as kind of one of the quote-unquote pushbacks that they've heard to getting this legislative mandate, they declined an interview. They did answer questions, written questions, basically saying that they support the initiative. But it's been a pretty widely heralded kind of problem that people think needs to be addressed as far as the responses I'm hearing.
All right. Seth Gulledge is a staff writer at the Triangle Business Journal. Seth, thank you so much.
No, thank you so much, Anita.
You can find links to Seth's reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.